Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on this Monday installment, snowy installment of the show. My name is David Tewksbury, as the voiceover guy just had mentioned there. Good to be with you on this eighth day of the month of April. And if you are waking up this morning and you're looking outside and you're like, man, snow, rain, cold, fog, what gives? This is stupid. Well, you're correct. That's number one. But number two is, well, just wait a couple of days because we're supposed to be maybe even flirting with 80 before this work week is all said and done coming up this weekend. So if you're frustrated, I get that. I sympathize. I'm with you. I hear you roar. But you know what? Just settle down. And this is one of those situations where I kind of really, I think I'm quite vindicated when I say I hate springtime. That's me, but that's the way it goes. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How was your weekend?
It was okay. Not great, to be honest with you. I went home sick on Friday.
Yep.
I was feeling like death. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just felt like duty. I felt really, really bad. So I went home, and I went right to bed. And daughter was waking up there around 3:30, so I was on dad duty there a little bit. And I had two Pop-Tarts for breakfast on Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed. I didn't have my next meal until Saturday around noon. I just felt like trash. And then yesterday, I was kind of getting back to normal, but then again, just doing this, that, and the third. And then my door fell off the hinges in my bathroom. Why? How? I have no idea. So I got to work on that now. It's just...
You're a handy person, able to do
not
that
exactly.
Kind of stuff?
No, no. I'm not a very handy guy, but you know what? When your wife really isn't, you got to be. So,
what, you just open the door and it just came off?
Dude, I don't even know. It's just ridiculous stuff. I mean, yeah, the top frame is just kind of bent, like the hinge is all out of whack. So I got to go home and worry about that now. So to answer your question, my weekend, not great, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
I had a pretty good weekend. It was
good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it was. I went to the Wings game Friday night, saw that overtime thriller. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome how that one ended there Friday. And, you know, we've mentioned wrestling things here from time to time. I was dialed into WrestleMania there last night, I got to tell you. I was into it.
Really?
And, yeah, best 5 minutes of WrestleMania history last night, I got to tell you.
So you're one of those?
Yes.
You're one of those?
Yes.
You know, how? Why?
I don't know. You know, it was one of those things. I flipped it on. I was kind of into that little feud like with the Rock and Cody Rhodes, and that was like the main feud this time around. And the last like 5 minutes of that match was incredible. They just went. They took you back to memory lane. It was like your childhood right in front of you in a couple moments. So I was into that there last night. Didn't get to bed till you know that. Like I'm still kind of shook about what happened. So
you know,
pretty awesome.
I just get a feeling, and I'm not trying to you know throw barbs at you here, but it's like you get to a certain age, you gotta say, yeah, we're done here.
Yeah, but like.
You're not that age yet.
When you have like guys that you grew up with coming back.
Okay.
Like when you were 12, 15 years old, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, if Jeff Hardy came back and was like, you know, fighting for the belt or something, I might check
like
it out.
Like the Undertaker.
Oh, he's been around forever.
You know, like The Rock. I mean, those guys are great. That's
sure.
why I'm into it.
Okay.
But.
All right. That's interesting. Because, yeah, when I was in college, I was really not into it anymore.
Oh, no. Either was I.
I kind of punted after like sixth or seventh grade. And then my college roommate was really, really into it.
He's
and
probably
I'm like,
still really into
oh,
it.
I guarantee you he's still really into it.
If you text him about it, he's going to be like, that was the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I just, at a certain point, I'm just like, yeah, everyone knows it's fake. But then again, you know, you turn on the NFL and you're like, is this fake too? So I don't know. It's hard to say. But, you know, to each their own. You know, if you like wrestling.
Had a good weekend.
Good. Good, good, good. You know, I was thinking about going to the Wings game the other day. And, yeah, if I wasn't feeling like death warmed over on Friday, I probably would have gone. And if there was a game to go to, Friday night would have been the one. And, by the way, we're going to talk with Trent Kurtz, Aberdeen Central Boys Tennis, here in about 10 minutes on the program. Looking forward to that. But that would have been the matchup to go to there on Friday night. 3-2 overtime victory for the Wings.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'll tell you, they had a great crowd there Friday night and all weekend long. Just it was electric in there. People were making noise. And you can tell that the playoffs are right around the corner. Like, those games meant a lot in the standings, and I know you lose there on Saturday, but to get the split was huge because St. Cloud played North Iowa this past weekend, and they were right on the Wing's tail, right on Austin's tail. So this weekend coming up against North Iowa is going to be huge. But that game and overtime too, because it was like they dropped the puck, pass ahead to the blue line, breakaway, and cool finished. And just a great moment. Crowd went nuts. And Nick Comfort also was huge in that game for the Wings. Two goals, two Genos there from Comfort, who plays defense. And they were really great set up. You know, the Wings, they don't get a lot of shots on goal
right.
compared to their opponents, but they take advantage sometimes of, you know, opportunities from the high slot. And that's exactly what Comfort was able to do on those two goals. And then, you know, the third period, it was nip and tuck. It was awesome. Was in the offensive zone a lot in that third period. And you got to give credit to Adam Dyball, man. He was awesome and kept the Wings in that game. And then you get an overtime winner like that. Pretty cool.
I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but I've mentioned it to my friends whenever we go to Wings games. My dad, whenever he just watches hockey, it's the same cheer the entire game. It's just, get it out of the zone! Every single time. Every time he's at a game, that's just, get it out of the zone! Just every time. So
I'm a big fan of the people that just scream shoot when there's when there's just bodies in front of everywhere. Like, yeah, probably not, because it's going to get blocked.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get the redirect.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And goofy things happen that way. So I tell you what, it's going to come down to the wire for the Wings, as they've got North Iowa coming up this weekend. For them to feel comfortable, they pretty much need to go 2-0 and win in regulation. You don't want to leave anything to chance. You want to control your own destiny. Just control your own destiny with two wins.
Yeah, and you're facing a North Iowa team that's, you know,
not great.
Not good. they've been awful this year, and you got to be able to go on the road. Now, here's the thing with that. This is North Iowa Stanley Cup.
Yep.
So you're going to have to play your A game.
No question. And they're a team that has absolutely nothing to lose, and if they want to do some dirty things, I mean, there's probably nothing holding them back. And, you know, I have heard that they can be a team that sometimes they do some dicey things, some questionable things, borderline things, shall we say. So a big weekend for the Aberdeen Wings approaching, and we'll talk about that and much more with the man that we like to call
Mr. Unlimited,
as we've got ourselves a loaded jump free here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Trent Kurtz, again, Aberdeen Central Boys Tennis. He'll be joining us here shortly. And speaking of Aberdeen Central Boys Tennis, they will not be in the mix here today. He texted me last night or sent an email saying, yeah, the quadrangular with Roncalli, Brandon Valley, and O'Gorman is going to be postponed due to possible weather. And I was like, possible weather? What? Well, what's the forecast? Then I woke up this morning, oh, yeah, that forecast. So that's been nixed for the day here today. So more details on the season to date so far with Coach Kurtz. That's coming up here shortly. But on Friday, I was doing this show solo because you were out on location at LifeServe.
Yep.
And I mentioned something that I thought was very interesting, and I wrote it in my Sharpie here, and I wrote in big, all caps, Cobra, question mark. So I have to ask you about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, this is pretty wild. Are you familiar with the 999 challenge?
Is that the 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings, right?
That is. I mentioned this on Friday's installment of the show. And I said, definitely on Friday, I was not in any sort of feeling or mood to even talk or think about beer, hot dogs, and what have you. But now that I feel a little bit better on this Monday morning, I still don't think I could do it. And I love beer, and I love hot dogs, I love baseball, but that's aggressive. Do you think you could do it?
I think I could probably get down 6 hot dogs. But here's the thing. I think I could do the beers, but the hot dogs for me would be tough because that taste of hot dogs would get so old after I feel like 6 or 7.
Right.
And that would make me feel sick. So I don't know if I could do it. I'd give it a good run. I think I could probably get to the 7th, and then I'd call it.
Sure. And I think the one thing that's interesting about these pictures is the pictures of the beers here on the right-hand side, those are tall boys. You know, those are 16-ounce beers. Those aren't just your standard 12-ounce.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't think I could do it.
Plus, you got to have about $250 in your wallet to do this, do something like that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding at all. No doubt about that. A couple more here before we bring in Coach Kurtz. Sticking on the baseball side of things, I saw this over the weekend on social media, and this has long since happened, but sometimes you get these crazy, wild baseball facts out there that just get kind of tossed out there into the ether, and I see them, and I'm like, wow, I got to talk about that in the Sports Hub. Tony Gwynn, of course, great player from back in the day.
Yep.
He produced more four-hit games. He had 45 four-hit games than multi-strikeout games, 35 in his career. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, he's one of the best hitters of all time. Big singles guy, big hit guy.
Yeah.
And when you... Probably the opposite of what Miguel Sano does.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the thing with those great hitters, the Pete Roses of the world, the Tony Gwynns, their ability not to strike out and have even productive outs, runner on second, move the guy over to third, big two-out hits with runners in scoring position, sacrifice bunt, a sacrifice fly. That's what those guys are special at, making contact. And the saying is, put the ball in play.
Yep.
That's what Tony Gwynn was great at.
That's insane. I mean, numbers like that, I get a sense you'll never see anything like that, kind of like the Cal Ripken streak. That'll never be broken. The Brett Favre consecutive game streak. It's not going to get broken. And numbers like this, I just don't see them ever being broken. But I'll say it again. Tony Gwynn produced more four-hit games, had 45 of those, than multi-strikeout games, just 35 in his career. Pretty wild. So a big shout-out to Tony Gwynn, of course, in the career that he had from yesteryear. A couple more on the baseball side of things. Minnesota Twins, of course, they're playing today. Knock on wood. There's a pretty good chance for some showers there in the Twin Cities, so we'll have to wait and see. It's a 6:40 first pitch against the Dodgers. But Chris Paddock, stirrup appreciation post. I saw that the other day, and that's a look you don't see very often nowadays in 2024 baseball.
No, you do not. You see it more at the college level, too, because covering college the last couple of years, that's a big look there. You know, it's the new kind of age, oh, this is sweet, let me try to do it. You don't see it as much at the pro level, but big shout out to Paddock bringing that back. He needs to keep that.
I'm a big fan of that look. It's so old school and rustic.
I don't think I could ever rock that, though.
No.
When I was playing.
You know, now that I think about it, speaking of garb and what have you, I always talked about Aaron Moeller's hat. Now we're talking stirrups. One thing that I really want to see in basketball come back is the high socks. Remember Keith Van Horn back in the day? The Keith Van Horn high socks? How come nobody wears high socks anymore?
I don't know.
I love that look.
Yeah, no, you don't see that anymore. Now it's all about having those... kind of the compression
tights,
shorts
yeah.
that go all the way down to like your ankle, and then you wear socks over that. That's the new look now. Also, bring back headbands.
Yes.
Why don't we see headbands more often?
Make headbands great again?
Yes.
Is that a thing? I don't know.
Bring back the. I know Gus Reedy wore a headband, right?
Yeah.
Bring them back. It's a good look.
I'm a fan. I'm definitely a fan of that. And also, we are seeing a lot of basketball posts. Of course, you had the Women's National Championship there yesterday. I'm sure we'll talk about that here on the program, too. We've got a lot of local notes to get here, too, as well. But I will tell you, on the guys' side of things, they've got their 8:20 first tip tonight. Or
9:20 Eastern.
9:20 Eastern, 8:20 our time. But, of course, that's down in Arizona where the Cardinals are playing. So Ford, they are the sponsor of the Arizona Cardinals, but not the Final Four. So the NCAA had State Farm Stadium put duct tape over all 70,000 cup holders with a Ford logo on them for tonight's game. Can you imagine that? Who has that task? Hey, Phil, break out the duct tape. This is your job for the next 8 hours.
Phil, and a couple other guys, here's a bunch of Ford stickers. You got to put these on every cup holder. That would not be fun.
Oh, man. That sounds brutal.
Also, like, why? I don't know, it's a money thing. But, like, why is the national championship games for these college basketball is at a football arena?
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you watch the game on TV, I feel like the crowd is just, like, so far from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I get it's a money thing, but I'd like to see it a little bit more compact. Like, play it at an NBA arena. Why are they playing it at a football stadium?
You answered your own question. It's a money thing.
Yeah.
For sure. But to your point, I'm right there with you. And I saw a lot of tweets over the weekend saying, hey, ref, that's a foul. And it's like from row double Z. You're like, well, you can't even see.
You need to get the binoculars out there if you're all the way up top to even see the game.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. But to your point, it is a money thing for sure. And I posted this question on social media earlier on here today. Women's national championship game was at 2 o'clock yesterday on a Sunday. Men's national championship tonight is at 8:20 our time, which is really probably like 8:30 after they get all the pomp and circumstance done. What's a worse start time? 2 o'clock on a Sunday or 8:20 on a Monday?
I think it's 8:20 on a Monday. I voted so too. I voted on that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just way too late. Way too late. Monday night. Why is college sports do that to you? National championship in football, Monday at 8:39, and basketball, too. I'd much rather play Sunday at 2. I think there was a lot of eyeballs on those games over the Final Four for women's basketball.
No doubt. And I just voted on my own poll.
Oh, you did?
I just voted on my own poll. I wrote the 8:20 for Monday, and right now that's got 67% of the vote, and it's got 65 votes right now, but... Yeah,
popular
Sunday, it's just like, yeah, you've got a little bit more time to kill, relax a little bit. Unfortunately, I was at the remote yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to watch as much of the game as I would have liked. Then I had some errands to run afterwards on account of the fact that my bathroom door is off of its hinges. But, 8:20 on a Monday, what are we doing? I mean,
it's
you can easily
way
move
too
that
late.
Earlier, you know?
I mean, I understand it's in Arizona. They got the West Coast time, but can't we move that to 8 Eastern? 7 here, 5 their time,
mm-hmm.
That would make more sense.
I'm totally with that. I just don't like
that.
That
thing's not going to get over till probably 11 our time,
mm-hmm.
Close to midnight Eastern.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to stay up and watching it. I can't. I got to wake up every day at 5 a.m.
I'll probably watch the half.
Hey, you're younger than I am, so you can pull that off.
I'll probably be able to watch a half of it, and then I'll call it. And the game, I mean, you got the two number one seeds, but
it should be a great game.
It should be a good game, but I think UConn's got the edge. They've been destroying teams in this tournament.
Yeah, UConn has been my pick to click, and I've got them as my national champs, and my bracket is still technically alive in that sense, but, I mean, they're the only team I've got left that I had Purdue, I think, losing in the Sweet 16 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did, too. I didn't think – remember, Purdue lost to the 16th seed the year before. They're pulling over Virginia. Virginia lost to UMBC a couple years ago,
right,
and then went all the way and won it.
Mm-hmm.
They would be doing something similar if they won tonight.
Well, looking forward to that matchup. That will be, again, tonight at 1:34 in the morning. So looking forward to that one. All right, Trent Kurtz, Aberdeen Central Boys Tennis. He'll be joining us next on FSA.
Corner.
Well, I forgot to put in the music beds. So Monday show's off to a great start, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's okay.
You know what?
Cold open?
No, that's no good. Here's a little music bed. Got the record scratch or something like that. All right, we're rocking.
That's good.
I like that. All right, we're off to a better start here. Better put in the music beds for the rest of the show. Right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Great to be with you on this Monday installment of the show. Trent Kurtz is the head coach of the Aberdeen Central Boys Tennis Squad. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. And he joins us here on the phone line. And I tell you what, Coach, it's been an interesting start to the season, dealing with a lot of weather and what have you. Looking at the start to the season, how do you qualify it so far?
We were able to get outside, get a lot of challenge matches in, which helps kind of set our schedule. And then we've been able to play all of our matches. You know, we had to go indoors one of our days out in Rapid. We had to go indoors when we were in Sioux Falls last week, until today. Today was supposed to be our first home match, and then obviously weather not letting us play today. So it's been a pretty good start, obviously, after we got that few inches of snow we weren't able to get outside for a week, but we were still able to get something done indoors. But for the most part, we've had a really good start to the year as far as weather and practice, as good as it's been for us up here.
Yeah, Coach, and just going through your roster, it looks like you got a really good mix of players, a lot of juniors on your squad, no seniors. But do you like, you know, where your roster's at, being that you got a good amount of experience here through five games or matches?
Yes, through that. And it's just we knew this year we'd never have a senior. We've just never had any in that group, really, since they joined us as freshmen. And then we've only got two freshmen on our roster, too. So big group of juniors and sophomores. We got a really big group of middle school this year, which is 33. So that's good. Hopefully we won't have any more of these classes with zero in it. But overall, it's nice. You know, it's nice knowing we'll have the same group back next year. Ideally, we'd want some seniors to kind of who have been around a while, maybe played a little more varsity and have some experience and have some leadership for us. But But I really like our group, great group of kids. We have some, you know, we have some really good leaders, even though they're not seniors. We have some natural leaders that have kind of taken over that leadership position. So like our group, it is, I mean, we ideally you'd like to have an even balance of every grade, but no seniors. That's all right this year. Kind of makes it a 2-year process for us, which is also kind of fun.
Trent Kurtz joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial as well. So when that's the case, Coach, and you don't have a whole lot of seniors, like you said, it's almost a blessing in disguise. Why do you feel like that is? And it almost feels like, from the coaching perspective, I would guess, not to put words in your mouth, but it almost makes you become a little bit more patient, doesn't it?
That's exactly what it's done. You know, it's just understanding we got a lot of new guys to the varsity level, only one returner that played any varsity last year. So not only are we young, but we're really inexperienced too. So there's not a real pressure to get these guys into the varsity and get them rolling right away. We're just kind of going to get them better every day and try to be playing our best at the end of the year, which is always our goal. But knowing we've also, you know, we'll have this same group back next year. So really been a lot more developmental, I guess, this year and this off season. Had a really probably one of our best off seasons with this group too. So, but like you said, it keeps the pressure off. You know, there's not a ton of pressure on these guys, even though they're first year varsity players. They know, you know, they've got 2 full years to be varsity people here. That's not like, oh man, this is my senior year, I'm finally a varsity player, I've got to have a good year, that kind of thing. So kind of keeps the pressure off them a little bit, I guess, but it allows us to be a little more patient.
A lot of youth on your squad here, Coach. Has there been somebody that's really stood out to you here this year that's really, you know, you're looking for leaders, right? And has there been somebody that you're saying, hey, this guy's a leader on our squad?
AJ Prane's definitely taken over the leadership role. That goes back to even a little bit last year, but definitely over the offseason, over the summer, you know, he was at our morning workouts almost every time. He plays other sports, so he knows how to compete. He knows what being part of a team is. So he's a guy that definitely has natural leadership abilities and a guy that the other guys look up to. One, because he has been a varsity player. You know, he played at Roncalli as an 8th grader. Then he played with us as a freshman and sophomore. So he's a junior, but he's in his 4th year of varsity experience. So guys will just naturally look up to him. But then just his personality. He's just a really good kid. A guy that all the other kids kind of respect and look up to. So he's definitely been our leader, our captain, that kind of stuff. He's having a great year. He's playing really well right now. He's playing the best tennis he's ever had. He's just had to play some really tough number one kids right now.
Trent Kurtz, head coach of the Aberdeen Central squad, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. And right now, the lone dual victory was on the road there out west against St. Tommy, 5-4. Can you kind of walk us through there and what worked out so well for you guys then?
That was good. We actually, we got another one out there. We beat Rapp City Central. That one might not be online.
All right, yep.
So yeah, we got a couple wins out there. The St. Tommy one was a really good one. That was a back and forth one, and we started with doubles, and you could kind of tell it was going to come down, kind of knew where their strengths were compared to our strengths. And it was going to come down to our one singles. And that was kind of the last match on the court. Really good match. And AJ was able to pull out a tight one. And we were indoors for that one. So that always, you know, maybe gives them a little bit of advantage. That's where they practice, that kind of stuff. But AJ played really well and pulled out a close one that got us the duel.
Yeah, Coach. And, you know, we talk a lot about the mental aspect of tennis. You know, it's not going to go your way all the time in tennis. Can you just speak on the mental aspect of the game, you know, dealing with a young team that you are, how important that is?
That's been the most difficult thing for this group so far. And whether, you know, I coach sophomore basketball, I tell them all the time, 7th grade football, whatever it is, the toughest thing for young athletes to do is handle adversity. And we've really struggled with that so far. Like we're young, we're not as experienced, and we haven't been kind of put through these competitive situations yet. So hopefully we'll get better at it. But when things go bad, it's so important to just kind of stay positive, forget what happened, you know, the previous point, the previous game, and just move on and play the next point to the best of your ability. And right now we're really struggling. You know, we let one bad point or one bad game turn into 4 bad games, and then we're in all kinds of trouble. Now we've kind of dug a hole that's a little too big. So we got to do a better job really kind of forgetting the past, learning from it, knowing why we're making mistakes, making sure we're not making the same mistakes over and over, but just kind of putting in the rearview mirror and move on to the next point. Kind of the old Ted Lasso, be a goldfish or whatever, have a 10-second memory. Kind of like that. That's really what we're stressing. Most of the time when I go out and talk to kids during matches, we can talk to them every two games on changeovers. That's usually, it's just kind of try to keep them in the right frame of mind, make sure they're not getting too down on themselves, that kind of stuff. So I think we'll get better at it. We're struggling with it right now.
You know, I never really got into Ted Lasso. I tried. You know, I got like three or four episodes in.
Great and then, show.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those I just never quite gave it a legit chance, but I don't rule it out. At some point in time, I might go back into it. But, you know, that's kind of a segue into to kind of having that 10-second mentality, Coach Kurtz, is you kind of already maybe answered this to a certain degree, but that's just so easy, so much easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, there's so many times you're like, hey, you got to forget about it, but you're still talking about 15, 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids. You know, those are tough things to forget about sometimes when you miss a point or something like that. So is it just kind of repetition of just kind of those mental reps of to say, hey, you have to forget about it or you're gonna be kind of sunk, I guess?
You know, I think it's something you can get better at the more of those competitive situations you're put in, but it's really tough. It's tough for anybody. You know, you watch the Elite Eight last week, and who was it? UConn beat Illinois. They went on a 30-0 run, you know, just snowballed on Illinois. So these are a top 10 team in the country, and kind of the same thing happened. So now we're trying to get, you know, we've got an eighth grader out there, ninth grade, 10th, 11th. We're trying to get these kids to really stay focused, and it's tough. And it's kind of just our, you know, with social media, everything, there's too much attention put on negatives right now. We just really got to try to get these guys to focus on the positive and forget the negatives as much as possible. Like I said, you still got to learn from it, especially if we're making the same mistakes over and over, then we really got to learn from it. Then we can kind of think about it a little bit, but for the most part, we know what we can do. We know what we can't do. We just got to play every point to the best of our ability.
Coach, we talk about the Tennessee and being a kind of a sprint. It's a quick season. Spring season's kind of quick. You know, obviously the weather isn't great here today, but can you just talk about how you try to have those teachable moments in such a quick season? It could be, can that be difficult at all, knowing that, hey, you know, the season is pretty fast?
It makes it really difficult because, you know, we're not getting many practice days a week. Usually, you know, once we get going, we're playing at least two to three times a week. So then practice time, we're trying to work on stuff we saw during the matches we got to get better at. We're trying to put them in competitive situations. I try to do a lot of stuff at practice that's competitive to kind of work on those competitive situations. But yeah, it's a short season, and especially once we get going with matches, you know, there's a week and 2 weeks here coming up. We play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's just not much we can work on that Wednesday, you know, our only day of practice that week. But like the next week, you know, we have a full week of practice up until Friday. So then that week there's more kind of breakdown, that kind of stuff. So every week's a little different. And then South Dakota weather, you never know. You know, we get matches canceled and postponed, so then you have to put those, find a date to work that works for all the teams for those. So it's definitely tough because it is a short season. So for the most part, you know, we're trying to make sure we're match ready. And then when we get those weeks where we have multiple practices in a row, then we try to break things down and work on more specific things.
Well, looking forward to the next duel here, at least on the calendar right now for this coming Thursday on the road at Piers Place. Then it also says that it's also here, too. So can you ascertain, is it out west or is that going to be here?
Yeah, so there is a little confusion on that. We just kind of got that straightened out this morning. That is going to be in Pier, just a duel with Pier. So that'll be kind of nice. We haven't had just a duel yet. Everything, you know, we went out to Rapid for a couple days and only could bring eight guys. Then we played indoors against Harrisburg and Sioux Falls Christian, so we could only bring eight guys. With it just being a duel in Pier, we'll be able to take our whole roster, which is going to be nice. So we'll get our JV guys who haven't had a chance to play matches yet, get them matches out there. But yeah, that is in Pier on Thursday now.
Okay, gotcha. Looking forward to that, and hopefully the weather does cooperate going forward here, Coach. And thanks for taking some time out of your Monday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yep, it is our pleasure for sure. That's head coach Trent Kurtz joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll take a break in the action. We'll come on back with some more localized notes as well after this on FSA. We're back on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub. What was that?
Nick Batum.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's clutch.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw my Twitter. It's got a lot of wrestling stuff on there, too.
Yeah, big follow over there on @the_cobra66.
You never know what you're going to get. That's why I think the Mr. Unlimited comes in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you know, it's a little bit, you get Sixers 1 minute, wrestling the other, then my personal opinions. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
A lot of good sports takes from
Mr. Unlimited.
See, he's even making an appearance here.
Jeez, we can't get away from Mr. Wilson.
Oh, man, twice an hour. How about that? That's good stuff. Our thanks to head coach Trent Kurtz for joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, we're kind of talking off the air a little bit. Had to be brief with taking that commercial break because we're up against the clock a little bit. But when you are that young of a team and you've got that many matchups and duels to get in to your underneath your belt, man, it makes it really, really tough.
It really
especially
does.
When you're young.
Especially also, you got to learn on the fly. Like, you're almost learning point by point. It seems like you, and that's where I think the frustrating thing comes in. Like he was talking about, you lose one game, that turns into one set, and that's where you got to. That mental aspect of the game comes in. So, you know, it's a good opportunity for a young team to be in those kinds of situations with your backs kind of against the wall, you're losing a game or set or whatever it may be. How do you respond? And when you're almost kind of put in those moments in a match, you don't get a lot of time to practice them. So I think there's a lot of things that you do preseason, behind the scenes, when you're not in matches. But it's a mental aspect. We were talking, like, that's a sport that I wish I could pick up. And it's probably pretty easy because there's just – it's that individual kind of sport that mm-hmm. I think a lot of – you know, that's why they get – so I think that's why you see a lot of numbers. Like, they got 33 kids in the junior level or whatever. That's pretty good for those numbers. And I think it's because it's like, hey, this is kind of an individual sport. I think a lot of people like those challenges.
And I think the more people need to take those challenges too and stop kind of thinking, hey, it's D1 or bust for me or whatever sport that is. It's just like sometimes you need to go into track and field and realize what it's like when you are that one guy versus everybody else, or in this case, tennis. It's you versus you, or golf, what have you. It's just the mental aspect of sports like that. So, so important. Speaking of the track and field side of things, the Huron invite would take place over this last weekend. Not going to get to all of these because there are so many individualized results, but a couple of them on the central perspective that I've got highlighted here. Avery Ligon of Aberdeen Central would finish in second place in the 100-meter dash. And also, he finished in fourth place in the 200-meter dash. David Van Veen would finish in second in the 1,600-meter and 3,200-meter runs there as well. Tyler Bain of Aberdeen Central would place second in the high jumps. High jump, that is. It's not plural, just one single high jump. Brennan Phillips, he would finish in third place there. And how about Alex Schumacher of Miller? He would win the 800-meter dash. Peyton Brown of Millbank in second. Emmett Hansen of Millbank in first place in the 300-meter hurdles there as well. Again, visit our website for more details there. On the girls' side of things, Gracie Reif of Aberdeen Central would place second in the 100 and 200-meter dashes there. Ella Bucklehide of Northwestern, she would win the 800-meter and 1,600-meter runs. Job well done for her. Juna Ramey from Aberdeen Central would win the 3,200-meter run. And also you had Aberdeen Central collectively win the 4x100 relay, the team of White, Stillman, Reif, and Lust there, so job well done. And also Taryn Hermanson of Aberdeen Central would play second in the shot put. Madison Hostetter from Aberdeen Central would win the high jump there. Ciara Frank would win the long jump. And again, for more details, visit our website because there is so much going on from the Huron invite. It's all there on our website on hubcityradio.com. But a lot of good numbers there from Aberdeen Central players in particular.
Yeah, and what we've been talking about on this program a ton, a lot of multi-sport athletes. You see a lot of people that were playing basketball, football, are also running in track and placing good. And good to see that as well.
No doubt about that. And also nice to see some golf results come into the email bank this weekend. That was nice to see. That put a smile on my face when I was filling that out yesterday. The CBC Classic down south in Mitchell. On the girls' side of things, Chester collectively, they would finish up top. Miller would finish in second, followed by Burke. Selby area would finish in fifth place there. By the way, Phillip and Burke tied for third. On the girls' side of things, individually, Bryn Rorick of Clark Willow Lake would finish with an 85, good for first place there. And on the boys' side, Miller would finish in first place, two shots ahead of second place Wall. Hill City rounding out the top three. Other regional squads of note, Webster would finish in fifth. Tying for sixth would be Castlewood and Sully Buttes, Edmund Central in 10th, and Ipswich in 11th place there. Derek Brueggemann of Miller carding a 73 for the afternoon, good for first place, while Wesley Whitler of Sully Buttes and Trevor Schultz of Wall would pick up a 77, tied for second. Gavin Colson of Sully Buttes with a 79, good for fourth place. So, I mean, looks like a lot of these golfers are in mid-season form. Those are some really good numbers.
Especially with the wind that we had this past weekend. That's incredible numbers to see in the wind. It's hard to play golf in wind. You don't know where the ball is going to go, and we had some pretty lethal winds Friday and Saturday, so good on them.
No doubt, and if it were windy, maybe that would help me, because I just stink, so maybe the wind could help me out. You know, it's like I hit a slice, maybe the wind can just knock that ball right back into the fairway.
Need a lot of wind the other way on a slice.
Oh my goodness. As for Aberdeen Central, on the softball side of things, they would fall to Spearfish on Friday, 17-2, but I just get a sense that at some point in time, Aberdeen Central, they're kind of like a can of pop or a can of soda. You keep shaking it up, you keep shaking it up. Eventually, when you pull that tab off, that thing's going to explode. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday for them, as they doubled up Rapid City Central 26-13 as they pick up their first victory in program history. Congratulations to Coach Neer and company for getting that job done. Kaylee Kiso went four innings of good, solid work, surrendering just three hits, one run. It wasn't even earned, striking out a couple. Airily Waldo, speaking of multi-sport athletes, she was 4-for-5 with four runs scored, two ribbies. Addison Ward, 2-for-4 with three runs scored, two RBI. Kaylee Hoffman, 3-for-3, four runs scored, and an RBI. Central hitters, they drew 13 walks, and this game had a little bit of everything. They led 7-1 after the first inning. Then they surrendered 11 in the bottom of the second. Then they came back with 10 in the top of the fourth. They basically coasted the rest of the way. That's where Kiso really kind of dialed in there. So job well done for her, picking up the victory in relief. But man alive, I feel so good for that team to get that first win.
Awesome. Congratulations for head coach Cassidy Neer and that program. Like you said, it's like they were so close, knocking on the door, and first win in program history. But you mentioned it there, too. So, I mean, what a performance by Kaylee Kiso there. The game's kind of going a million different directions. She comes in, settles in, and they pick up an awesome win. But that was the key for me, looking at the box score. Like, those four innings of one-run ball, that's huge.
You're going to win a lot of games if those numbers can continue to be kind of rolled out like that. And speaking of more high school notes, you had Mobridge Pollock take on Winner for a doubleheader in some softball action. And remember when we said that high scores are definitely not just an Aberdeen Central thing? Mobridge Pollock defeated Winner 25-10. We've seen some football games this last Winner's first football game this year. Was it Tri-State or Tri-Valley they played?
Yep, it was 9-6 or something like that.
I think it was 8-6 in overtime. Like double or triple overtime?
Yeah.
Well, there was 25-10 with Mobridge Pollock and Winner in game one of that doubleheader. Tigers beat Winner as well, 22-1 in game two. So some wild, gaudy numbers put up on the softball side of things. We'll talk some northern notes with baseball as well as softball coming up next, and wrap up this Monday installment of the Sports Hub after this.
There are certain things in life we put off and wish we just wouldn't have to face. Often we don't face these fears until there's no choice. Dentistry is often one of those fears for many people. Though the last two decades of doing sleep dentistry, we've treated many people with gag reflexes, needle phobias, claustrophobia, and others who just had a bad experience in their past. Patients tell us they wish they could just fall asleep, wake up, and be done. You can. At Infinity Sedation Dentistry, we understand your fears and provide you a relaxed environment customized for your comfort. Come and see our doctors and our team of registered nurses and board-certified anesthesiologists who will provide you with the predictable and safe treatment you deserve. And ask about digital dentures, single-visit crowns, and implant teeth in a day. to start your new year with a new smile. Infinity Sedation Dentistry. We fix your teeth while you sleep.
It looks like spring is finally here. The sun is shining, the grass is turning green, and we're having huge closeout deals on 2023 F-150s. This is Zach McMillan at Pearson Ford, and we've got a great selection of trucks and the deals to match. Right now, Ford is offering financing as low as 1.9% for 72 months. So help us do some spring cleaning and save yourself thousands in interest on your brand new F-150 today. Stop out to Pearson Ford or go to PearsonFord.com before these trucks are gone.
We'll get you where you want to go. Pearson Ford. Pearson Ford.
Your vacation awaits you at the Aberdeen Regional Airport. This is Rich Krokel, Aberdeen Transportation Director. It's that time of year again when you're dreaming of sandy beaches, relaxing by a pool, or just getting away from the everyday stresses of life. Wherever you'd like to go, choose the Aberdeen Regional Airport. We have free parking, short wait times, and security lines. When you fly with us, you're supporting your local community, and you'll also get home to your bed faster when you return. Plan your next vacation today at aberdeenregionalairport.us. Choose comfort, reliability, and convenience. Choose the Aberdeen Regional Airport.
Time to text like a champ with help from your local pros at H&R Block. April 15th text deadline is right around the corner. Make an appointment at 1315 6th Avenue Southeast in Aberdeen or call 605-229-4681. Open Monday to Friday, 9 to 6, and Saturdays from 9 till 5.
Mark your calendars for Wednesday, April 24th. It's another South Dakota Big Deals online auction. This is your opportunity to save big on brand new items to big deals. It's one day only, April 24th. Keep listening for more details on the latest Big Deals online auction coming soon.
Tickets are on sale for the 2024 Wine Fest Renaissance. Get ready for an unforgettable evening of wine, laughter, and giving back on April 13th. Fine wines will be uncorked and delectable food pairings will tantalize your taste buds. As you sip and enjoy music and local artists, you'll also be supporting a worthy cause as your ticket helps fund vital programs for our area youth. Shuttle service is available. Get your tickets today at the Boys and Girls Club or Kessler's before they sell out and raise your glass to brighter futures.
Don't miss the 2024 Wine Fest Renaissance, a fundraiser for the Boys and Girls Club of Aberdeen area on April 13th.
It's wild. It's unpredictable. It's back. Har Motors presents the Coors Bull Riding Classic at the Holum Expo in Aberdeen. Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th at 7 p.m. Over 2 hours of professional bull riding action with top riders matched against some of the rankest Ted Slyman Bone Jamming Bulls on the roughest playing field in America. Get your advance tickets at the Hitchin Post and save. Friday is Kids Day, sponsored by CLH Insurance. The Coors Bull Riding Classic, April 12th and 13th in Aberdeen. Sponsored by S&S Auction, Haywire, RDO Equipment, and Grease Construction.
Swung on and hit high and deep. Left field and gone. Grand Slam number 5 for Mr. Grand Slam, Royce Lewis.
The Twins are back.
Swung on and missed. Got him. Lopez pops off the mound.
Welcome back to baseball, soda style.
Host your next party at Target Field and enjoy food and beverage in your own private suite. Book now at twins.com/suites.
Back on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. 605 radio app, download that today for free at the App Store. It is Apple and Android, smartphone and tablet compatible. Taking a look at some college notes from this last weekend. Northern States on the baseball side of things. Just a tough weekend there at Fossum Field. They would be swept by St. Cloud, falling in games 2, 3, and 4, respectively. Of course, they fell in game 1 on Thursday. Game 2 of the series would be against that St. Cloud squad there on Friday afternoon. They would fall 12-3 and then 13-0 in game 4. Game 3. And then in game 4, that would be, of course, on Saturday. The Wolves would fall 8-2. Brendan Baxter taking the loss in 6 innings of work, surrendered only 3 runs. They were all of them were earned, but just offensively, kind of a tough go for the Northern State squad. Just 5 runs combined in the last 3 games of the series, and tough to win some games like that with an offense that's kind of skittering.
Yeah, and when you're giving up 12, 13 runs on the other side, it's difficult, but we just looked at the standings. This is a St. Cloud team. That's a top 3 team in the NSIC. They have a stellar pitching staff, and they proved that, and Northern struggled at the plate. But good to see baseball back here in Aberdeen and at Fossum Field. So I think that was a warm welcoming. Obviously, they haven't played a lot of home games over the course of the last couple of years, so to get a full 4-game series in is pretty awesome.
Yeah, you don't like the results, but you like the fact that it's back at home for sure. As for Northern softball, they would earn earn the weekend split. As the story online reads, Splitsville, they would split with USF, winning in 12 innings in game one, 5-4. Lexi Chase going the complete game to all 12 innings while striking out eight. She also helped her cause at the dish, going 2-for-4 with two RBI. Abby Rux in game two would take the loss. And that would be an 8-5 final score there. Claire's Violet went 3-for-4 with a couple of ribbies. And on Saturday, the Wolves would be back down south in Wayne America, as they would down the Wildcats in game one, 8-4. Mackenzie Wanner going the complete game, seven innings, striking out four. Emma Owens, 2-for-4 with three runs scored, plus a three-run home run, I should say, and three ribbies there in the victory, and in game two, falling 3-1. So just not quite enough to put it all together for a full, complete weekend, just kind of up, kind of down a little bit. And 2-2 weekends on the road, those aren't the worst thing in the world.
We'll take that. We'll take that for sure. And, you know, to see somebody pitch in 12 innings.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that before. 12 innings pitch, a complete game like that. That's the cool thing about softball. The arms don't get injured like they do in baseball as much because you're pitching underhand there. A little less stress. But I'm with you on that. You'll take a split in a four-game series on the road.
For sure. And as for Northern Track and Field, they had their teams compete in the second and final day of the USD Early Bird Invite. Wolves finished the day with 17 top 10 finishes. For the full and complete list of those 17 top 10 finishes, visit our website on HubCityRadio.com. Again, Twins were washed away there yesterday. They would fall on Saturday 3-1. Of course, they were off on Friday, but I know it's early. It's still way early. We're only in the first full week of April here, but you know, these division matchups, they matter.
Yeah, they really do.
They matter in April as they matter in June and July.
You need to start hitting the ball or getting the pitching or just not getting the time of the hits, and that's what we've been saying here. I remember on our kind of preview of the Twins, they got to start hitting the ball and get more runs because this 3-1 thing isn't good enough.
Back at it tomorrow on the Sports Hub, talking about the Aberdeen Wings with the Wings Weekly and much more tomorrow on FSA.